Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. I'm Louise Hidalgo, and today I'm taking you back 50 years to the United States and one of the first convictions of Ku Klux Klansmen for the murder of a white civil rights activist.
Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves. And blood at the root.
It's December 1965, and a courtroom in the southern state of Alabama listens in hushed silence as an all-white jury delivers its verdict. In the dock are three members of the white supremacist group, the Ku Klux Klan, on trial over the murder of a civil rights activist, Viola Lee Uzo. The Klan was still strong in Alabama 50 years ago, and a young civil rights lawyer, Jim Turner, was one of the few who believed the jury would deliver the verdict that it did, guilty.
You ask if I had faith in the case, and I did, but I was among the few that did. But this became the first conviction ever of a Klansman in a death case in modern civil rights history.
Viola Lee Uzo was a white woman in her 30s and a mother of five children from the northern city of Detroit. She was a passionate believer in the civil rights cause. She'd spent some of her childhood in the South, where, despite new laws outlawing it, there was still racial segregation, with separate schools for blacks and white-only restaurants. That spring of 65, Viola Lee Uzo had left her children in her husband's care and driven south to Alabama to answer the civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King's call to join the Selma Freedom March, a march to demand an end to obstacles being put in the way of blacks registering to vote. The first march had already ended in violence.
Back then, the black people in Alabama were trying to register to vote, but they were regularly turned down by the local registrars, and they became frustrated and decided to march to Montgomery to present what our Constitution calls a redress of grievances to the governor. But Governor Wallace said that would just clog up the highways, and he turned them down. On March 7th of 1965, they started out a march anyway, and they were beaten and gassed and sent back to Selma. It was a day called Bloody Sunday now. The Alabama state troopers and other police produced some of the most graphic news clips that I've ever seen. It went all over the world.
Civil rights activists said they'd march again. This time, Dr. Martin Luther King himself came, and President Lyndon Johnson sent federal troops to protect the marchers from the Alabama state troopers.
Dr. King and his supporters are about to stride out along the road to carry their war, as they call it, to the enemy. Their aim, they say, means nothing less than changing the political structure of America.
The march took 5 days, ending on March the 25th with a huge rally in the state capital, Montgomery, where Viola Lee Uzo joined 25,000 others watching as Martin Luther King delivered a petition to the governor. Later, as the march began to disperse, Viola was helping to drive people to bus stations and back to their homes, with a young fellow black activist beside her in the car.
Some Klansmen followed a car containing Viola Lee Uzo and Leroy Moten, a young black man, out on the highway in Lowndes County, Alabama, which is called Bloody Lowndes because of its racial history.
Civil rights worker Viola Lee Uzo drove from Selma to Montgomery. Her car was tailed by another with four members of the Ku Klux Klan in it: Roe, an FBI informer, Eaton, Thomas, and Leroy Wilkins.
And they were headed towards Montgomery when the shooting occurred. It was after dark.
And she was killed pretty much outright, wasn't she?
Yes, she was killed with the first fusillade.
there was national outrage.
President Johnson announced the arrests on TV within, I think it was 3 days after the incident.
Due to the very fast and the always efficient work of the special agents of the FBI, arrests were made of 4 Ku Klux Klan members in Birmingham, Alabama.
President Johnson called the Klan a hooded society of bigots, a reference to the white robes and pointed masked hoods that Klansmen wore as they waged their campaign of intimidation against blacks across the South. Lynchings, beatings, killings were carried out with impunity, often with the sanction of police and politicians. Jim Turner worked for the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, whose job it was to try to eradicate just this kind of institutionalized racism.
We went immediately to the grand jury and got a federal indictment, and then the state requested that they be allowed to go first because they could get a death penalty, and we could only get a maximum of 10 years. We didn't think much of Alabama's chance of getting a conviction, but...
Why didn't you think much of their chances?
Because of the atmospheric in Alabama was really anti-black, and there was never any doubt that it would wind up in acquittal, which it actually did.
Before that acquittal, there'd already been a mistrial, during which the defence lawyer, a fellow Klansman, had made openly racist comments in court and had later paraded the three defendants at a Ku Klux Klan rally.
And I present Mr. W.O. Eaton, Mr. Eugene Thomas, and the boy who stood under the battle guns, Carly Leroy Wilkins. I say give him a good hand.
Finally, it was the Justice Department's turn to try to get a conviction. With no federal charge of murder available, Jim Turner's bosses had to resort to an old statute known as the Ku Klux Klan Act.
The only statute we had that applied was a conspiracy statute that said if you conspire to interfere with somebody's exercise of their civil rights, you can be sent to jail for 10 years. It was adopted by Congress to combat the excesses of the Klan in the South, and it was very rarely used.
The case was heard in the state capital, Montgomery. The jury was white and male.
It could be your son, count them a 2 by 2.
But the jury was split, wasn't it? The judge had to send them back out.
Yeah, they reported that they were hopelessly deadlocked. And the judge told them that they ought to set aside any thoughts that they got outside of court. And Judge Johnson was a famous jurist, and he was one of the few in Alabama that would not try to cater to the Klan or anything like that.
And then finally, on December the 3rd, they did come back with a verdict, didn't they? All three were guilty.
Oh, yeah. The courtroom was ecstatic. The entire group of Civil Rights Division people. The events in Selma and in Hainesville and Montgomery in 1965 turned a big corner for our country.
That same year, 1965, President Johnson brought in a new act, removing all obstacles to blacks registering to vote. Jim Turner continued to work in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department for the next 30 years, rising to become Deputy Assistant Attorney General. Jim Turner was speaking to me, Louise Hidalgo, for Witness. And for details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.